This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yeah, baby, the big midweek hump day edition of Kennedy Molloy is rolling out right now, muchachos. And it is chock-a-block, Jane.
It is. We're going to be looking at crazy restaurant experiences.
Are we now?
Yes.
All right. That's one I like it.
Quite right.
Play something about a nude restaurant?
Well, you heard
Good
me.
Good Lord. Meet you there. I'll have what she's having. Hey, we're going to talk about Married at First Sight. I didn't see it, but you're all over this. What's going on?
I am all over this, but I'm also going to touch base with My Kitchen Rules.
Oh, hello.
Because look out, Manu's in charge.
Okay.
Stay clear.
We'll get onto that. In the guest department, Lawrence Mooney will swing by. Always gets a bit ripe when the big fella's in town.
It does. I do enjoy it. And I also enjoy the company of the Prime Minister, who'll also be popping in, which we love.
Bernard Tomic has made a comeback to tennis.
Sort of.
Hang around. And we will discuss the full catastrophe.
We will let you know. In fact, we've got a bit of a sports wrap today.
Do we,
Mick? Yep.
Well, we're going to talk about Kagiso Rabada.
Yes,
who has somehow got out of jail free. Do not pass go. He's going to play tonight against Australia, having defeated a two-match suspension.
Wow. How did that happen?
No one can. We're going to try and
join
the dots.
Can you explain it to me later?
I will try my best.
Please do.
Yes, indeed.
And you know what has happened in this world, and it's crazy that the last of the rhinos, the male
northern
white rhinos.
You've killed it. You've done it.
Yeah, congratulations, everyone.
On your watch. Well done.
Yeah,
our work here is done.
We're going to have a bit of a chat about that.
We will indeed. And we're going to take a little look into some details regarding one Jane Kennedy. That have come
what? No, you worry me. I don't like
well, you
it
should
when
be
you
worried.
Say
this could go anywhere.
I
this
don't,
could be our last show. You're tuning in.
I don't like Dave. Do you know what this is?
I have no idea what this is about.
We'll take
I
your
hate
calls.
It on the rundown. It just says secret Jane break. Oh,
could be. I'm worried about that. I tried to knock it on the head. I thought it was too much. But they said no. We're
seriously,
going with it.
I looked you in the eyes. I looked you in the eyes, Fed, and I just said, honestly. Don't upset me. You know what happens when I get upset. You don't want to know.
Stand by.
Hey, we
got to see some water work.
I'm not in the mood to cry today.
Well, all right.
Just saying.
Well, you have to clear. Well, we won't do it.
All
but,
right.
But the minute I sense a weakness, we'll be doing that again.
Hey, we had a big interview yesterday.
It was fun.
You know what? We're a bit cool about it, weren't we? A bit low-key, but we bloody had Russell Crowe
on. One of the biggest stars in the world, Russell Crowe, swung by for a chat. And he was great.
He was great.
We learned a lot about him. He's written a song about a manta ray.
Yeah.
Well, did he say
we played that, which was Indoor Garden Party, which I thought was quite a good track.
It sounded great.
That was a good track. Manta ray, okay.
Yeah.
But let's see you write a song about a dugong. That'll test you. What about a flounder?
What rhymes with flounder?
Flounder.
Caught a pounder.
Oh, Jane.
Snap.
You're
terrible.
Like this.
Come on, I'm
like
good at this game.
Malloy. Hey, that was great.
Yes.
Also, too, we didn't ask him. Are there rumours suggesting that he's now dating? Has he got a girlfriend?
Are you going to go down the stupid Terry Irwin line?
I'm asking the question.
No, they're not. And it absolutely bugs both of them. And
oh, does it?
Yes.
That's why I didn't bring it up to his face.
Because I told you not to either. Don't bring it up now. We don't want to perpetuate that myth.
If he has a second auction for divorced items, I'm guessing there will be a lot of khaki in there.
I did learn a lot about him, you know, he's a collector from the age of, like, a kid. He's collected stamps. I used to collect stamps too, coins. And
do you collect stamps?
Yeah.
You're a collector. You've got the attention
You're
span
a hoarder,
of a goldfish.
I'm a hoarder.
What was your stamp collection?
I was a philatelist.
Oh.
Try and say that after a few.
Can I buy that?
I was a philatelist. Weren't you? Didn't you get the stamps?
I used to collect stuff.
They're from Dubbo.
Protection money down at the tax shop. That's what I used to collect.
Every month I used to get a big collection from, and Magyar Post. They were the big stamps from Hungary.
Right.
I used to get, stop looking at me like I've got two heads.
What a nerd.
A lot of our listeners.
What a giant nerd. You're filling in a few blanks for everyone out there.
There is one piece that we were going to
He had a big registry out. So basically, it's called The Art of Divorce. He's getting divorced.
It's a Sotheby's catalogue.
Auction items up. What took your eye?
No.
I was after
Can
lot 17. Lot 17, which
was
the
chariot.
Oh, yeah.
I just see myself in a chariot. It was a life-size working chariot, which I could strap up to a Shetland. Six Shetlands.
Six?
And drive through
You'd
town.
You'd need more than six to pull you.
How dare you?
What?
You'd need draft horses, mate.
Yeah,
you're just
Carlton United.
Well, I feel a lot better about break two now. I really do. Wow. Actually, you want to, anything else you want to get off your
chest?
No,
I'm nervous now. Hey, I wasn't going to get this, but you were suggesting that I was going to go
what
for item number 25. It's a brown leather boxers protector used in the film Cinderella Man. What the hell would I want with that tiny little piece?
I'd probably have to get the extra large version of that.
Of course you would.
Does it have a certificate of authenticity? I know it has a whiff of authenticity.
Oh, hang on.
Yuck. What?
It's actually one of the more reasonable items.
Do you know what he doesn't have in there?
What?
And this is why mine will be way better than his.
Your what? Your divorce catalogue? How about you get married first, you clown?
All right. Well, you know what, for my love?
What?
Chamber pot. That'll be on the cover of the brochure.
That is you with
the... will be my chamber pot going all. And imagine the bidding. There'll be phone bidding.
Oh,
they'll be bidding
gosh.
From all countries all around the world, putting in phone bids.
You in a velvet dressing gown with like a pipe and a chamber pot on the front cover.
On the potty.
No, that's already
picked
okay, me
up. That anyway, we've got a lot going on today. We're going to talk, you're very keen on maths, aren't you? We'll get on to get to that shortly. But there's something I want to discuss with you first. It rose on yesterday's program.
Yes.
And we'll just discuss it. Just all relax, right. Would you?
I can't relax, Ran Hugh.
Getting a stink eye over here.
Oh, look out.
Done anything.
Jeez. Mix up to something and we'll find out what it is right after this on Kennedy and Malloy.
Settle.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Malcolm Turnbull and Lawrence Mooney joining us in the next hour as
Hang
well.
Hang about for that.
Huge.
And a bit
That'll
of
be fun.
Bit of atomic talk too in the second hour. You can get involved.
I've got a bit of iOS talk too. You won't know what that means. In a million years, you won't know what that means. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's not like an IOU.
Yeah, that's what,
sure,
exactly
Mick,
what it's
yeah,
like.
Okay.
Don't you patronise me, David.
Come on.
Hey, it was a great show yesterday. We covered so much ground, and it was Whitney's birthday. Do you remember Whitney?
Yes, that was
30.
Great.
We'll get Whitney out in a minute to tell
oh,
us
yes,
exactly
what she did last
she
night.
Did last night.
Yep.
But we're talking about Whitney and her turning 30, and we had this conversation. One of our producers here, Whitney, is
it's
having
30th
a birthday.
Birthday.
Never give away a
My
girl's...
God, you don't think I'm saying 30 over and over? Well, that's a great age.
I remember your 60th. You said,
God, take that back.
You don't.
Take that back.
All right.
I took my age off Wikipedia. Did you know that?
Did you?
Yes. I've taken my age off Wikipedia.
I thought you'd been hacked by the Russians. They care a lot about you.
Anyway.
You took your age off Wikipedia.
Yes, I did, because I'm ageless.
I'll change your Wikipedia page.
Go for
Give me half an hour.
Shut up.
Anyway, a couple of things came out of that.
Yeah, what's the joke?
Louise.
What's going on?
Easy, Tiger.
Yeah, what?
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, look, I don't like when you look like this. It worries me. What's going on?
Okay, get the engine running. Bring the car around and keep the engine running. Can I just say
you have not gone and put my age back in Wikipedia, have you?
Well, no, you accused James of doing it yesterday.
He was very nervous.
He was on his knees praying.
I know.
Look at your heart, Jane. No. I didn't do it.
He was a bit worried.
It's going to be an execution out there.
He looked a bit pasty.
In the airlock.
He was worried.
Secondly, you shouldn't change your own Wikipedia page. That's illegal.
Oh, thanks for telling me, Mick, Mr. Upstanding Citizen.
Well,
what?
And then I thought the idea that someone may change your Wikipedia page, I found galling. I really did. So I think we should check in with your Wikipedia page and just make sure that no one has tampered with it in any way. So... Just so everyone can hear at home, I'm going to get Siri to do it. So I'm going to get Siri.
No,
seriously. And we'll just check in with your Wikipedia page and see how it goes. Just let me got the phone out, the old iPhone.
Oh.
Shh. Siri, please read Jane Kennedy's Wikipedia page.
Okay, here is what I found. Jane Constance Maureen Ethel Jezebel Kennedy is a well-known Australian drunk. She is 72 years old. She is most well known for her love of Chardonnay, and it is thought Dan Murphy's would go into liquidation if she ever gave up the booze. She is also known as the lead spotlight stealer in band Holy Strung, and for her love of drummers, particularly Daryl Summers. However, her sexual chemistry with Dean, from Married at First Sight, has also been noted. She is a registered pyromaniac, lighting dangerous candles wherever she goes. And she is currently before the courts on charges of driving the wrong way in the office car park. She has proclaimed her love of animals. However, rumors abound that she is the kingpin in a nationwide puppy farming organization. She is married with five children, none of whom's names she can remember. She has been quoted as saying she owes all of her success to her radio co-host Mick Malloy and his enormous comedic abilities, not to mention he goes off like a firecracker in the sack.
Okay, no, well, that sounds about right.
Is that it?
That all sounds about
right. I'm exhausted from having to listen to such rubbish.
What do you mean? That's pretty much you
How
in a nutshell.
How dare you?
Like 72-year-old drunk, it seems.
Oh, hey, don't you chip in.
Stop paraphrasing, Dave.
Listen, Dave.
Let it breathe.
I'm not even looking you in the eye.
After drinking the whole Wikipedia profile for me.
Yeah, you had fun doing that,
Puppy
didn't
Puppy farms is a worry.
Yeah, well, as if.
Anyway.
There's too much in there that's just, clearly it's a big joke.
Well, it's not a big joke. Well, a lot of it's just, it's jokes true, rings true.
What do my children will just think of my behaviour?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, Nikki, you're off to do the front bar tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
Around on Channel 7 tonight.
Channel 7, 9 o'clock in most markets, maybe a little later either in Sydney and Brisbane.
Yep.
But it's front bar.
Can't wait.
Returns.
It's a great show. We're looking forward to it.
It's a football show. I love it. I'm a little worried about the lead-in, which is on the other station, which is Maths.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of been going off.
This is the biggest show in the world right now.
I think the ratings last night were like 1.6, which is the highest they've had ever in the history of Married at First Sight.
So what could go wrong, basically?
Well, you know, but My Kitchen Rules, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But Married at First Sight last night, well, it was a little off-putting, especially when you're trying to eat your dinner. Because
how so?
It was lots of tongue kissing. Mm. Like with people who are not movie stars. You know, like big, lascivious, tonguey
sounds
men.
Like a swingers party.
Well, speaking
all
of swingers parties.
People you don't want to see tongue kissing.
Oh, my God. Well, look, as I walked through the office today, literally all the girls
gave it a
all
go.
Stopped me.
Yeah. What? What are you?
I would imagine now all the boys' ears are pricked up, haven't they? Troy, who was with Ashley, the blonde chick.
You can't keep up, can you?
I can keep up. Troy was with Ashley. That didn't work out. So Troy and Carly. Carly's hooked up with Troy, right? And we didn't know this, but last night we found out that they'd hooked up and they were not married together in the first place. Let's just hear what happens when they wake up. They wake up in bed together, and this is what we hear.
I've been dating Carly for about 2 weeks, not that long, but it's been a very strong connection. She ticks all the boxes. I think she's an incredible girl, to be honest.
You're like a little fuzzy bunny.
So I just went in for the kill. And it happened. Yeah.
He went in for the kill.
So they were together on the show?
Not originally.
Well, and why are you only finding out about this now?
Because when everybody broke up, not all the couples have ended up together, other people caught up for a drink.
Mm. After the show finished.
After the show stopped filming and they've cracked on.
I
want
to get involved here.
Hmm. Well, I do you know what though? I thought I would enjoy it more than I did. So when I'm eating my John Dory last night at the kitchen
John Dory's
bench.
Not a bloke. Not the John Dory.
No. The fish.
Careful what you're saying here.
I'm making stuff up as I go.
You are. So I'm eating me fish and chips and I've got this licky, slurpy
What's
man.
What's going on?
It is so off-putting. That's the one thing I took away last night.
Wow.
How off-putting it is to see public displays of affection. We've got another bit of a clip. Have a listen to this.
She's like gifted with quite a very, I'd say, talented tongue. She takes care of herself, so, you know, her mouth's in great condition. Naughty. She's got the rhythm. She knows what to do. And, yeah, it makes you feel so comfortable.
That's good sharing.
She's got the rhythm. She's got a very, what do you say about her mouth?
She takes care of herself, so it's pretty fresh or something.
Troy's an idiot.
I can't even keep up. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, just now I've got more. So oh, they all had a reunion last night and another dinner party. They all get together. Not an orgy, but well, you know who we had? We had Tracy in here on last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So tiny nose for a face that size. That's all I noticed.
Well, I thought she looked much prettier in real life.
Same, actually.
I think she's gorgeous. Dave, I think she had one of the hottest bodies I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, well, you can buy those for about 10 grand, I would have thought.
Well, why can't I buy one like that?
Well, let's all get a GoFundMe page going for Jane Kennedy. See what
I'd like
we can
to
do.
Buy a new body. Yeah. Anyway, so she was with that bloke, Dean.
Dean. Yeah.
That broke up. She's cracked on to another bloke now. And have a listen that the psychologists are describing what's happening.
The psychologists?
This is the clip three. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
Come here.
Hi, babe.
Oh.
What?
Oh,
good to see you.
Oh, hello. Did you see that?
Hang on. What? Sean is kissing Tracy on the lips.
Sean is kissing.
They're the psychologists.
Yes. Like, girlfriend.
What are they doing?
Wow.
They're just watching in another room
on
a TV.
They are watching in a room with lots of monitors.
I'd really like to see some degrees, please. I'd like to see something from a proper university.
100%.
If you could just show
it
to me, 100%. That'd be great.
Because the premise of the show is that these geniuses match everyone up, but most of the people didn't work out. So what the hell's going on?
Having gangbangs out the back after they've left the show. That's what's happening.
They have all decided to just slip on, swap over, for the school of Captain Flipping Obvious, the psychologists have pearls of wisdom like this.
So it will be difficult for the couples that didn't stay together to see couples who are still together.
So I'm well, Abby.
It's a highly unusual situation, isn't it? Because when you do have a breakup, you typically don't then go to dinner with your ex.
Well, no. And how obvious is that? Thanks, Nancy Drew. Well, I'm just honestly, I won't be sad to see the end of
the
psychologist. But what was going on? It was ridiculous.
So that's the finale tonight, isn't it? Tonight's the last night.
It's the finale tonight. Yeah. Davina's back. She's evil.
She's
but
a
what
bitch.
I can't get over
hey,
is.
Dave, don't
oh, she
you
is.
Start
well,
Davina.
They're all cast
what
as
did Davina
characters.
Do wrong?
Oh, she tried to crack on to Dean. Oh. Do you know what? It's very frustrating. This is what was happening in my house last night.
Yeah.
If I was asked one more time, and which one's that? And who's he? I said, no, I'm not telling you now. Yeah. It's the second last episode. Bad luck. I am not telling you who's who.
All right.
And I'm not telling you either who's who. What I was fascinated
who wins?
By. No, there's no winner here,
well,
idiot.
How can you watch a whole series and not have a winner? Sure, it's the guy who porks the most women.
No.
Does he win something?
I don't think that's the premise of the show.
Wouldn't you be terrific on one of these shows?
As the psychologist. Who wins?
Nobody wins.
Love
but
wins.
There were winners
anyone
last night.
Anyone who doesn't
night.
Get herpes, it sounds like.
There were winners last night from the wife swapping. And what
well, this
I
sounds
want to
good
know
to me.
Is, it's not bad. It's happened, but there's a precedent for this.
Okay.
Shania Twain's done it.
Oh, jeez.
Shania Twain's husband was cracking on to her best friend.
Yeah.
And Shania was really upset about it. So the best friend's ex-husband went to Shania's comfort and then they got together.
He's drawn the short straw in that foursome.
No, why do you say
that?
That
four ball, like, she's a bit of a bitch.
She's not a
bitch. I've told you about
heard,
this before.
It's one incident and you just hold it against someone for life.
Yeah, well.
You don't even know. If you met her, you'd love her.
I'd love her.
I want to know. I want to know any.
She's great. She's
we're
very
not
good
promoting
in concert. She's really good in concert. Oh, she's been. Has she gone?
No.
What a bitch. No, she hasn't. She's very good.
Yeah. Stop it. Has anybody done anything like...
Oh, we're going to take calls.
Yes.
Crikey. God. Oh, okay. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah. What have you been up to? Can you make that sound like a documentary? Have you, can you, have your wife swapped? Have you gone to four
thank you,
ball?
Now you're understanding
you,
where I'm going.
Cut some someone's
after,
lunch.
After dark shenanigans is what we're looking for, yeah?
Yes. Oh, baby, come on.
But it might have worked out for everyone.
You might get in the next cast of Married at First Sight.
That's it.
Could be a win-win.
They're not even married, by the way. Did you know that? Not
commitment.
Married.
Hey, 133353 is the number. Give us a call. Yeah, what did you get up to after dark? We'll take your calls after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
I've been talking about Married at First Sight. It's the very last episode tonight. And last night there was a fair bit of partner swapping going on, aplenty. There was lots of public displays of affection. There was lots of tongue kissing.
I'm not comfortable with all this, but you know me. I'm no prude. But I find all this behaviour a little excessive and
I can see it sits uncomfortably with you, Mick.
But we'll see if we can't.
Do you think you can soldier on?
Well, we can sift through some of these calls and see what people are thinking.
Well, I'm up for
what's wrong with their lives.
Don't know what's up wrong with
what
you.
What they need. Hey, David.
Yes.
David, can we hear your story? Because we're curious to know whether this goes on in real life.
Yeah, I was going for a messy separation with my ex-wife and my brother's ex-girlfriend was there to help console, and we've now been married 20 years.
Okay.
Oh, so that was quite close, very close.
How's your relationship with your brother?
We don't speak.
Okay.
See, there's a consequence here, isn't
there? There is a consequence, isn't there?
He didn't see the funny side of you potting his ex-missus?
Apparently not.
He did not see the funny side. He thought I should take his side more than his ex-girlfriend. Yeah. And, so.
All right.
Hey, bros before hoes.
Thank you, David, for your call. Works. And for being honest, we should give you a prize for that because that's very gutsy.
Sure,
to be
David, you'll get
about
yourself
$100. Give his brother a prize. Give him something, consolation
brother
prize.
Won't know. Yeah.
What are you giving him, Dave?
You get yourself a $100 fuel card there for calling David. Thank you for calling.
Good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Good on you. Hey, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
Really well. Have you got a story about people sort of doing the swap-a-roonie?
Well, it was actually my preschool teacher, but I was mates with her son, and her and her husband ended up having an affair with this other lady of some girls we went to school with, her mum, and they ended up swapping partners. They did the swap. They both got divorced, and they married each other's partner. And the really strange thing was...
That's a good parent-teacher night.
Oh, yeah. Was the guys basically looked the same. And they weren't charming guys. They were both about 5'5", balding, and rather portly.
Dave's taking offence to this description.
So the ladies had a type.
They had a type, and they were quite happy with each other's, and you could nearly not pick them apart from a fair distance.
That's
quite
amazing.
Yeah, and they both got married and lived happily all ever after.
Well, that's what we're interested in hearing. Thank you, Ian, for the story, because we just weren't sure whether
this
goes on. That's
a happily ever after, is it? That's a modern-day fairy tale for you,
it ended up, it was a win-win. Everyone was happy in the end with that. You're Mr. Sensitive,
I don't know what circles you mix in, but... this is okay in your
I can
book,
hardly look at you today.
I'm astonished how people behave. Dylan, what happened? Who'd you do? You've cut someone's lunch?
G'day, how you guys going? So this is a couple of years ago when I was in high school. Yeah. And so my mate, he was kind of having a bit of a fling. He was kind of seeing this girl having a bit of a fling. Yeah. And they fizzled out. And then...
you swooped.
She kind of... Well, she... Also, she swooped. And I kind of just...
Went with the flow.
Went with the flow is the perfect way to describe it.
So you were a sitting duck at this stage. You were a target.
That's a perfect metaphor, sitting duck. Exactly. And then basically what happened is I think my own personal guilt got to me because my mate said he was all right with it, but I think the friendship after that just got a bit sour. And then, I think it was my own inner kind of guilt about it all, and we kind of fizzled our friendship after that.
So are you back with your friends with your mates again?
No, we're not, actually.
So you put the hoe before the bro, too.
You're a massive loser, mate. You're a loser, Dylan. You got no chick and no best friend. Give him a prize.
Dylan.
Kennedy Lloyd prize pack coming your way there, Dil.
Thanks for the call, Dylan.
Hey, Gus, what's going on, mate? What's going on? What's your... Talk us through your personal life.
Talk us through this whole world, this wife-swapping scenario, et cetera.
Well, it's not wife-swapping per se. Me and my partner have been together for 5 years and we've had an open relationship for about four.
Ooh,
Now, I am currently, for the last 6 months, been developing a relationship with a married woman whose husband also knows about what we do, and my girlfriend's also developing a relationship with the same woman, so we've kind of got a...
Oh, with the woman as well?
So we've got a love triangle, and unfortunately, the husband's the one that misses out. So,
hey, Gus, would you be cool if I potted your girlfriend?
She's doing a whole bunch.
He's okay, Gus.
If you're too quick, go for it.
That's a green light from Gus. All right. Oh, I'll be around about
he's
five.
He's very excited, Gus. You've never seen his face lit up.
And everyone's happy, Gus. There's no one's got their nose out of joint in this whole arrangement?
Not that I'm aware of with the husband. But
if you can keep that up, good luck.
Can I just tell you, I reckon the women always do. They always have a problem with it. They say, yes, I'm comfortable with an open relationship just to keep the peace, but I reckon underneath it all,
Okay.
Just saying. Anyway,
watch
thank
your back,
you, Gus.
I think is what she's trying to say. Be careful. Well, things aren't what they seem.
No, things aren't what they seem.
This could blow up in your face, Gus. So it's all good now.
Anyway, everyone's happy have a great now. Day, Gus. See ya.
I'm kind of jealous right now. But, boy, you could end up in
all
trouble.
All right, move on. John. Thank you, Gus. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, John. Tell us your story of,
I had
a tangled relationship.
You're under siege, are you, John?
Couple of months ago. It's had three of the lads out of our group try and cut my lunch for one of the ladies.
No way.
Wow.
Three?
Yep. Other dudes.
Oh, well, they're not
at
your
the
mates.
Same time, or?
No. Or they tried consecutively.
Right. And so, John, I'm guessing is your girlfriend extremely, or boyfriend, or whoever your partner is, extremely attractive?
Yeah, yes, definitely a looker.
Right.
Did she flirt?
She was enjoying it, definitely. Mm. But it was just the attention.
You should keep her at home or make her wear a burqa. Make her wear a burqa, John, every time she leaves the house.
No. I'll be hot for that.
I've had enough of this.
Did you say she'd
none
look
of
hot?
These liberal Western women.
Yep.
She no, keep her under. I chain John, her up when you leave the house.
John, this is the man you'd like to take relationship advice from, isn't it? Mick Malloy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sound advice.
Never leave her out of your sight. Follow her around in a car.
She sounds like she's having a good time to me,
get
John.
Really possessive.
Well, that was it, yeah.
Well, and does it make you feel good that you're the winner, that you've got you're the prize winner, you got the bird in the end?
Well, yeah, apparently the other lads came up short. So
it's hard being the hunted, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
When you're when you've claimed the prize, when you've claimed the crown.
Okay.
And everyone comes for you.
Yeah, I'm laughing too, John. John can hardly hide his laughter. All right. You're saying. Thank you, John. We've got a prize for you too.
Yeah, sure. $100 gold class voucher for you there, John.
Awesome, thank you.
Good on you, man.
Good on you. Take your girlfriend to the movies and watch everyone try and crack onto her.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Being joined live in the studio by Whitney, one of our producers here. Hi, Whit.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
I'm actually surprisingly okay.
That's good. It was Whitney's 30th birthday yesterday. Birthday.
Congratulations. I'm keen to know, what does a 30-year-old get up to with their friends on the night of their birthday?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I went for dinner with some friends, had a few glasses of wine, and then we went to a place called Trapped.
Right.
And Trapped is like a bar.
Sounds like a theatre restaurant.
Well, Trapped. It's almost like that. It's a bar that have all these different rooms that you get put in and you've got to escape.
Right. Really? That's supposed to be fun, is it?
have you done this before?
I have done it once before.
What happened there?
Well, you go in. In my first experience, I got locked in a jail, and you've got
to. I don't need to go to a restaurant for that.
Exactly. That's like a Saturday night out for you. Why would you want to do it on purpose?
I know it sounds lame, but it's actually surprisingly.
So tell me
what's the idea?
You go with a girlfriend.
It's like you've got to like work as a with your mate
at night time.
Yeah,
and after a few drinks.
Yeah, which makes it funnier.
And what was this one called?
I was in the prohibition room.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to ask a question. Do you have only alcohol in the prohibition room?
Not in the room, but
I would
before
burn
you go
the
in.
Prohibition room to the ground.
So, no, you have alcohol before you go into the room. Yeah. But the whole premise is you've got to figure out the clues to unlock things that get you to the next
room.
And you've got to get through three rooms.
How
and
about,
you've got 45
I'm really thirsty. Open this door or I will kick it down.
I would not. You couldn't play. You wouldn't be any fun doing
mate,
this.
I would
you
be hard to read.
So upset.
I'd be cool. I'd be like the alpha male leader of the team. Everyone, guys,
oh
everyone just calm the farm. Let me think through this, you guys.
This is ridiculous conversation.
I'd be like Murdoch in the 80s. I'd be the king. I'd be George Papad.
You're like Sherlock Holmes.
Well, maybe, but not as daggy. Now, but is this a restaurant or is
no,
this
it's
a...
No, it's
experience.
I'd be on the absinthe. Yeah. So it's an experience. So how long does the experience take?
Well,
too long,
my room was 45
like.
Minutes, but there's all different
Lord.
Rooms with different themes. But they're now all over the
this
world.
This is all over the world. They're all over Australia, and I've since discovered, Jane, catch up, because this is all your mates, Whitney, don't they?
Well,
all know. And
my
all
friends were telling me last night they did one in Berlin, and it was like in the creepiest building.
That would be creepy.
I
and locked up in Berlin.
There.
There's a bit
I spent
of
45 minutes in a room in Berlin. Let me tell you, I wasn't in a hurry to get out either.
Well, they were chained to a wall.
Okay. Really? Now we're talking.
It was a saw theme, and it was the only light they had was like a second of strobe, and then there was like dead bodies on the floor. Like, oh, it gets really full on.
Oh, I would just wet my pants and run out crying.
It's fun. Sure.
Well, it made I'm very disappointed in you, Whitney.
Well, my 30th is this weekend.
No, that's one experience you. That you can have. Experience.
I think it's, and people are doing this, are they?
Should we try that one night? Let's do this.
Yes, we might. All right.
But you know what? They've got other. There's other experiences like you can have now. There's a few other restaurants doing. Well, at the moment, there's one, and this is they've all around the world as well. It's called Dans le Noir, and it's in the dark translation. So you all rock up to the restaurant, and it's all dark. You can't see anything. And, you know, there is a great thing. They have visually impaired waiters and waitresses, which is awesome because they're used to not being able to see.
Yeah.
And you go in as the diner.
I've had a few of those.
In the dark.
You go in as the diner and you eat in the dark.
Yes.
I hope that's not a really Chinese restaurant. They can have your eye out with a chopstick. A bit like a Three Stooges routine.
It's not. It's fancy and French.
On the plus side, it'll make it easier to steal your mate's fries. Hey, what's going on? Nothing.
That would be. That's true. Hey, there's another one.
So it's you eat in the dark.
Eat in the dark. Nah, yeah.
So it's just business as usual in South Australia.
Oh, what about their Elon Musk world with their power now?
Yeah, he'll help you, Elon.
There's
Musk.
There's another restaurant. Heard about this?
What's this one?
You go to a cafe and you're sitting there and just crawling all around is cats.
Jeez, well, that's what I'm after.
Cat cafe.
Well, what's it called?
It's called the Cat Cafe.
Cat
Cafe, where you go and you want it. You're just sitting there having your coffee and there's just a slinky cat going around your legs and jumping up on the table.
The cats on the menu. They don't get into any...
No, you know what? You've got to be careful when you talk about cats on air. We'll get all the cat people calling up and they get angry.
I love cats.
You love cats. Would you go to a cat?
I'd go to a cat cafe.
Well, why? And hang around with cats.
Of course I would.
Why?
Love them. They're great.
But what do you? Why do you want to eat food when a cat's sniffing around?
They've got a nice little rough tongue that they can lick you and
clean your plate now.
Clean your plate.
They're doing the dishes, aren't they?
That's right.
How about your hookup?
I'd go to a wombat restaurant. I'd like a wombat nosing around. That'd be good.
Well, by the time they get to you.
What about hedgehogs? Can we go to a restaurant where there's some hedgehogs?
Now you're getting silly.
I'm being silly.
All right. Well, speaking of silly, there is another restaurant.
Yeah. What is it?
It's called The Naked Restaurant.
Yeah.
And literally you go and you take all your clothes off and you sit on a chair that someone else has been sitting on.
Do you know what?
Eat food in the nude.
That's not a good look at, say, I don't know, the pancake parlour. I'm not looking forward to that.
Hey.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Big second hour, the PM coming up, Lawrence Mooney coming up. We're going to talk Bernard Tomic. We're going to get your calls on who you think is, the least liked Australian sports people through history. All that. But right now, I'm still getting my head around the idea of this nude restaurant.
Honestly.
People are paying money and they're going and they're dining.
And they're quite happy. And what they start off doing is they put petitions around. Our mate Limo's been to one of these restaurants.
Has he?
And what happens is at the start of the night, they
would have gone for the early bird.
Well, they put petitions around people at their tables, but towards the end of the night, all the petitions come off and everybody's happy to be.
Imagine ordering the soup. Excuse me, waiter, there's a hair in my soup and it's curly.
Oh, yuck.
That's revolting.
Hey, imagine trying to do a runner. Jeez. You'd be hard. It'd be hard for you to pretend you're looking for your wallet. Oh,
me?
Sorry. Oh, that's right. Oh, Mick, you'll have to pay for it again.
Don't
seem to.
Oh my God.
I'm looking forward to Matt Preston's review. I just don't want to be there while he's reviewing it. And what was the other one?
The Cat Cafe. We found somebody who's been there, Marshy, our production guy.
You get out and about.
What the hell?
Did you know it was a Cat Cafe when you went there?
I didn't know where we were going when I was taken to the Cat Cafe.
And did you like it?
It was fine. The cats were pretty bored. There wasn't a lot going on.
You're getting nothing from the cats.
Well, what do you think they're going to do a show for you?
They're just poured out all day by people. You haven't like a timed access to them. You have to book
timed
in.
Access?
It's like the African jungle. They've probably tranquilised them. So.
What, do they eat Snappy Tom or something while you're sitting at your table? Or do they nibble on anything?
No, they're just kind of lying around asleep.
Did it make you feel good while you were there? Is it a good sort of cosy... Or is it just pointless? What's the idea?
A little bit pointless because they didn't do a lot. They're mostly all asleep. So then you're just sitting in a cafe while cats sleep.
Can you take a cat with you at the end?
I don't believe so.
Can you put a cat in a doggy bag?
Nice one. Nice one. Actually, we've got a caller on the line who's been to a very unusual cafe. Scott, how are you doing?
Good.
Where'd you go?
Scott, tell us about the cafe you went to.
It was called Zoo Cafe and it was in Budapest. And you go and sit down and order drinks and that, and they just bring a random animal to your table. They have all strange animals,
Yeah.
What kind of animal?
So they had hedgehogs, like Mickey was saying. They had chameleons, turtles.
Chameleons? Imagine that. I ordered a chameleon. Where? There. Yeah. I can't see it.
I had one on my shoulder, and it was looking at me in the eye, and then its other eye was looking at my girlfriend on the other side of the table. Pretty creepy.
A chameleon will do that.
See, I've went to a very similar cafe, but they didn't have quite as many animals. It's just kind of rats. Just rats. I'm going to go. We'll talk to you about this.
Really? You're going to go to a cat
this
cafe?
This is our next star. Excursion? Whitney, your next birthday, we're all off to the cat cafe.
Not the nude
I've
cafe.
I've been to the pink pussycat. Is that similar?
No, nothing like it.
Okay. So.
Hey, huge second hour coming up. Lawrence Mooney's going to join us, and he may have uncovered the secret to women. Stand by.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it is going to be a massive hour, if I do say so myself. A 4X beer strike for the Comm Games. That is bloody un-Australian.
It is, and it's making me thirsty as well.
Yes.
Hey, I've got really big royal news.
Royal news?
I've got royal cake news.
Oh, my God, I cannot wait.
I've got the updates on everything, the one to come to. Also, we're going to talk about the Australian Rhino Project because it's a very sad day in the world today.
The Northern White Rhino, last male, gone. Two females left. What do you do?
Big problems.
I don't
Big
like
issues
it
in the world.
At all. Bernard Tomic, you are a giant goose stroke knob. Oh. We will get you to enter the fray. Is he the least liked Australian sportsman of all time? Kagiso Rabada is playing tonight. Can you believe it?
Amazing.
This is a man who,
probably shouldn't be playing.
Well, he got a two-match ban.
And how does he all of a sudden get...
Well, it's been overturned. We'll have a good look at that. The woman who offered a certain adult service at a train station has come out. And it's about time to hear her side of the story.
We've got the update on that. And
Lawrence Mooney will
it.
Be here. Lawrence will be coming. But first, if you don't mind, is it time to check in with our PM, Malcolm Turnbull?
Good afternoon to you all. Hello to everyone at Triple M, to you, Jane Kennedy, and to you,
Good
Malcolm
afternoon.
Malloy.
Thank you.
Of course, to you, Dangerous Dave. I'm fascinated by the story of the Illawarra line down at Wollongong.
The Wollongong.
People having sexual relations on the train.
It's oral sex. Was it on the train or on the platform?
No, it was on the train.
It was on the train. They met on the platform.
They met on the platform.
The offer was made on the platform. And then the man
used Coca-Cola as a cleansing agent, but more of that later. I spent most of last week down in Wollongong catching the train.
Just the gong?
On the off chance.
Because you
I've got
do,
a weekly.
You do catch a lot of public transport.
I do like public transport. But unfortunately, I've never availed myself of
you
the
seem
services
to like
of
when,
Wollongong.
Thought that's
line.
How you met Lucy.
Yeah. Didn't you meet Lucy
that's
that
right,
way?
The conductor. The fat controller, as it turns out.
You are very...
Oh, you're being cheeky. You're
I
in
am.
A cheeky
I'm
mood today.
You'll be in a lot of trouble when you get home.
I'm feisty.
Yes,
how was the ASEAN conference? How
you
do
mean
think
the
that'll...
Association of Southeast Asian Nations?
Yes, that's what
like
I'm
a
talking
Trivial
about.
Pursuit question often, that
isn't
one.
It? Yes, I do. Don't. I do love a conference, and you I do. Love an acronym.
How do you think it went?
Well, it went terrifically
Where
well.
Where was it? Sydney?
It was in Sydney. I took the opportunity to have a discussion with the leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi.
Oh, yes.
I took an opportunity to discuss things with the leader of Laos, Thoromon Sonomolomon, and of course
sorry,
the leader of
name,
Vietnam, yes, Nguyen Xuan Phuc, that's Phuc, and of course Susilo Bang Bang Yudhoyono is no longer the president of Indonesia,
unfortunately.
It's Joko Widodo. So what did I achieve? pronouncing all of the names correctly.
That is fantastic.
I had a terrific time, and of course, we all came to a terrific resolution at the end of it.
What was that resolution?
Well, that was not to wear Hawaiian shirts like they do at APEC.
I like to wear a hat made out of beaks.
No, they don't do the dress ups at ASEAN.
Oh, don't they?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's why I look forward to APEC, the leather jacket or, I don't know, a hat made out of a banana palm.
Arseless chaps. Oh,
yes, why not?
Well, Michael, careful, respect, please.
You will take any opportunity you can to say arseless chaps. I mean, you seem a little bit.
Silly. You crossed the floor chaps, in a pair of arseless chaps.
You seem a little bit chaps curious to me.
I'm going to move on to the South Australian election because that's very big news last weekend. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, Steve Marshmallow Marshall is now the first Liberal leader in South Australia for 16 years. Mm. He's got a terrifically smooth face. Yeah. He was a furniture king. I think he goes to the same doctor as Nicole Kidman. He looks fresh. Anyway, what I want to say...
You can't be taking credit for that. After 16 years of Labor, that had enough. It's got nothing to do with federal issues.
I am taking credit for it. I stayed away from that entire campaign, and when they won, I flew in and took credit for it. And I'm taking credit for staying away. What it says to me is Jay Weatherill is gone, and he committed to 75% renewables. So it was a mandate for coal. Let's dig it up, let's burn it, let's leave the lights on and make everything pretty. Isn't it nice when you come home and all the lights are on? I drive up to the Piper and I think, look at that. Fossil fuels at work. It's like fairyland.
Your electricity bills would be terribly high, wouldn't
they? Never see one. In fact, I'm
more electricity
back into
the state of South Australia at the moment. Yeah. And you've got your NBN hooked up, which no one else has.
Yes.
We've got some great NBN. Terrific speeds up at the Piper.
The other thing I have to ask you, question without notice, you've seen the president of America, Donald Trump, rumours there may be dick pics out there in the marketplace. None for you, would there?
Of course not, Michael. I've never committed any part of my anatomy to the internet. You'd be a fool to do so.
Right.
Some people that imitate me have, but... well, one person who
has.
Oh,
really? We better discuss it with them.
There's something out there.
All right. Well, that sounds like a task.
Stand by, Lawrence Mooney, to join us right after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Lawrence Mooney, An Evening with Malcolm Turnbull, can be seen at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and Sydney Comedy Festival, lawrencemooney.com.au, the Athenaeum, and also the Enmore in Sydney.
Book early.
And we do welcome Lawrence Mooney to the studio.
Thank you very much, Jane. Thanks, Mick.
Great.
And thanks, Dangerous. Before I get on to...
Yes, the topics du jour.
The topic du jour, which is I've discovered the secret to female happiness.
Yeah, you're very brave saying that in here.
Hang around, everyone. Yeah. If you're driving, pull over.
Yeah, get your notebooks out, boys. Anyway, yesterday I humiliated myself with your producer, Whitney, because she was going through Russell Crowe's The Art of Divorce catalogue.
Yes, the catalogue.
Sure.
For the Sotheby's auction on April the 7th.
And yes, I said, fantastic catalogue.
I'm doing Brisbane Breakfast at the moment. I said, they've had that up in Brisbane and I've been doing some impersonations of Russ and reading out the auction items. Yeah. And she said, yeah, we got Russ on. And I said, am I on? She goes, no, we've got Russell Crowe. And then I just went,
so you don't need me?
Nah. Well, yeah, nah.
Can you do your Russell?
Actually, Mick, all I like to do is have a couple of durries and just hang out at Woolloomooloo. That's what I do.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
That's
damn close. How's the auction going?
The auction's
going
great.
I'd like to bid on Lot 17, which is the life-size reproduction chariot.
Well, you can have the chariot. Every family needs one. But what you need, Mick, is the Rabbitohs chopper. I've never felt more at home than when I was on a Rabbitohs chopper.
Hey.
So anyway, Whit, you've missed your opportunity. Can you spark up me Winnie Blue?
did you get the idea, Lawrence, that he may have got drunk at a few sportsmen's nights? I'm looking through it.
There's so much cricket memorabilia.
There's a lot of rugby jackets.
There's a lot of baggy green caps.
Baggy green caps.
My favourite item was the violin from Master and Commander. And it's not exactly period because Ridley Scott and the production company couldn't afford it. So I bought it with my violin teacher and the head of the MSO. And it also comes with the silk handkerchief that I use to play it.
Oh my God.
Are you for real?
No, well, you do that because he's after authenticity because violin players would spot it a mile away.
Mm. Yeah.
You're going, that's not for real.
If you had a big anthology of auction of items up for sale? What would be on the cover of your Sotheby's? I'm going with the chamber pot.
What is my most valuable like, bit item. Of the provenance of this? Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
I don't know. But anyway.
All right. Now I'm fascinated to know you're claiming something ridiculous
this
that
is
you
incredible.
Believe you may have uncovered the secret to women.
Yeah. A couple of rules with women. Rules always change immediately.
Right.
And girls, like, girls love choices, so don't try and nail them down to one. Right. Theorem.
You're looking nervous when you look at me.
Well, right, I'm nervous.
What are you doing?
You
it's
are.
Hard to uncover the
wait on in, mate. You've had a go.
Okay. So I've been away for a month and got home on the weekend, and last night I cooked. I roasted chicken, and that is my
specialty.
That's your thing? Yep. Your go-to. So, signature dish.
Yep.
Cut up lemon inside.
Nice.
Basil and ginger and garlic stuffed under the skin. Mm. Trust. Yum. Hot for an hour.
Trust.
Yep.
Do you know what that means, Mick?
I trust my women occasionally.
Yeah, that's right. Hot for an hour.
Tie them up.
Anyway, then I take the jus.
I stand by my original statement.
I reduce and clarify, but I don't thicken. And then I drizzle it over the chicken and the roast vegetables. Mm. Anyway, my wife goes, this has made me so happy. Just so happy. We're doing it, eating on the couch.
Yep.
Often eat at the table. Anyway, eating on the couch, watching Married at First
Sight. Yeah, couldn't
and
be better.
And she finishes, and in our place, the dog is part of the pack. So I put my plate on the floor so the dog can lick the plate.
Yeah.
And Lou starts licking the plate, and the tongue's right out. She's starting at the edge of the plate, and she's working up the plate.
There's a bit of the gravy, the jus, it's all
She looked up, and she goes, this is so good. And I said, I wish I was that plate. She goes, well, pour some jus over yourself and see what happens.
Honest to God, what goes on at your house?
I never know where you're going.
Neither do I.
But I'm never
going to jew the same way.
Anyway,
was she trust?
Fun in the bedroom.
Did you trust her?
Anyway, I poured a lot of jus over myself. Didn't have the same effect.
Funnily
enough. Just got
enough.
Bits of chicken give me pubic hair.
Oh, for God's sake.
We should send him to the nude restaurant.
Yes, we should.
Have you seen him nude? I can't believe this.
I have.
I did not know this, but you came in and you were talking about how you've seen Lawrence nude.
Oh, it's where, no big
where
deal.
Where was that?
No big deal. It was at the a museum.
I was in the Melbourne Museum.
And was a full nude.
Oh, it's huge.
What are you doing
photo.
In the museum?
Well, we don't care for it. I didn't say it's huge.
I mean the photo.
Photo's huge.
My first wife.
Or something.
No, it was the Life and Body exhibition, and they had humans from zero to as old as they could get. And
yes,
I was
so different
in the middle
stages
there.
Of life.
What were you at?
It was 2000, and my baby Lily was just born, and I was holding her. I would have gone and, you know, gone to the solarium, done some push-ups and maybe Manscaped. Back then they didn't even. So, you know.
It's literally Lawrence in the nude. So I walk in with my kids and they go, oh, Mum, can we go to the, you know, the sex education next? I go, sure, this will be a laugh. Let's go in. Good way to learn about it. We rock in and they run straight for the nude guy over in the corner. Because it's funny because he's, you can see his penis.
Right.
And as I walk up.
He's huge.
And I had to get my glasses on as I'm walking up and I went, oh, my God, I know that man. And the children were quite horrified that I knew you.
Those glasses that jewellers wear to look at a diamond. I had a friend that worked at the Melbourne Museum and he said that he used to do, you know, role plays as like a Indiana Jones type character. And he said it was somebody's job when they had school groups through, the kids would run around and touch the boobs and the penises laughing their heads off. And so it was somebody's job to go in at the end of business and nifty children's fingerprints off my penis. And at the museum.
And there's something you don't hear every day.
That's great. Oh, gosh.
That is something you don't want to hear.
I think we're done.
I love hearing about your past life.
Go home and shoe up.
Lawrence, you've got an evening with Malcolm Turnbull.
Oh, this will
be
great.
At the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and Sydney Comedy Festival. Check out lawrencemooney.com for dates and tickets. Sounds awesome. Please get along and see this gentleman.
Oh,
he's a very good friend of Malcolm Turnbull. So, could see them both.
Good on you.
Well done.
Good on you. Okay.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
How about we do a bit of this?
Kennedy Molloy's Sports Wrap.
Just settle down, Mick.
What did you just say?
Nothing.
Repeat it.
Come on.
Hey, here we go. It's a big sports report. I'll helm
You'll
this
kick
one,
off
if you like.
Go ahead.
4X strike in Brisbane for the Comm Games. I worry about this. I think, you know.
No,
I'm
seriously, I know you're worried about it.
This is bloody un-Australian as far
ridiculous.
As I'm concerned. The Comm Games come round. Our athletes are up there. The eyes of the world, or at least the Commonwealth, are upon us. No friggin'
And it's like Queensland.
Unveiled. That is Queensland.
It's the only beer you can have.
Mate, well, do you know what I'm worried about now in Brisbane?
What?
So there's a strike on at the 4X and there's a strike on with the Meter Maids. Remember we
oh
spoke to
God,
the Meter Maids.
On the Gold Coast.
So no Meter Maids, oh, no 4X. Why are we on the Gold Coast?
Exactly. Next what
we
is
say
there?
Warwick Capper's barn. What is going on,
oh,
people?
Well, there's nothing else, is there?
Should we say you're not allowed to wear long socks and sandals?
That's right.
Come
That's
on, we need
thing.
It. Next thing you know, our swim team will be back on the Red Bull and Still Knocks. Don't make them do that. Remember one of our Comm Games, a rower in Scotland for the Comm Games,
yeah.
was found at 3 o'clock in the morning, pissed, fell through a window at a souvlaki shop.
No, I don't.
He did.
Well, that sounds.
And I remember thinking, go Aussie.
Yeah.
That oh, you're is a proud moment.
What's he supposed to do now?
Oh.
Trust me, you're not at a souvlaki shop at 3 a.m. if there's a beer strike on.
Well, that's
you
shocking.
You won't be near the joint. I'm very upset. I don't know quite what to do. But we'll see. The opening ceremony of the whole thing was going to be lighting a giant can of 4X.
Oh.
I would have thought, okay, let's get to the big one, Rabada. This
okay.
is the South
Can you
African
fill
fast
me in on this.
Okay, Kagiso Rabada is the he's this incredible figure in South African sport.
Mm-hmm.
He is probably the first unifying cricketer who the whites love and the blacks love.
Yep.
He's a black South African.
Yep.
He is a demon bowler. He's a fierce competitor.
Mm.
But he crosses the line. So he's been up
when
on
he's
about,
playing, he crosses
when he's playing,
the line.
So he's been up, he's very aggressive. So he's been up on about 5 different charges.
Mm-hmm.
In the last test, he basically shoulder charged, nearly knocking over our test captain.
Okay,
Steve Smith,
yep.
and he subsequently received a 2-match ban, and everyone went, yeah, okay,
possibly fair enough.
Well, the South Africans have protested. They've had a 6-hour hearing where they've basically hired, because he's such a big figure now,
yes.
that goes beyond sport.
And it wouldn't be the same if he wasn't playing.
If he wasn't playing, but the cricket side of me wants to see him play, but the justice side of me wants to see him I don't know, be executed. He was taken, he's been, after a 6-hour hearing with like a civil rights activist.
Oh, so he's gone the full doctor on the lawyer.
Full mercy court. Yep. He's got off and he's playing in the test tonight. You go, come on. It was like having Nelson Mandela represent you in court for 6 hours. Now, have you seen the footage?
No.
It's violent. He basically could have walked up and kicked him in the balls.
Wow.
And
okay.
gone, nope, nothing to see here.
Right.
He could have run him over in a car.
Okay.
In a hit and run.
Yeah.
And left. And you would have gone, that's less violent than what he did.
So it's a bit
he
light on.
He could have glassed
just...
him with a long neck. He could
he
have
didn't.
Done jail time for what he did. But
even though it's a cricket match, and was just
go.
Maybe he just accidentally just
no,
did it. Wasn't
no.
an
it was
accident.
Deliberate.
Was
you
deliberate.
To, you, yeah. Anyone, it mm. makes a mockery of sporting bodies and tribunals and laws of the game.
Was our Steve Smith really hurt? Is he all right?
Well, he'll be in a full suit
he
of armour. He'll be padding up in a...
But that Aussies will be
it'll
pissed
be the bubbles
off, won't they?
Well, they should be pissed off because yeah. It's an incredible...
Good luck to the Australians then, mate. Come on.
Well, you sound pretty un-Australian yourself.
Really?
You don't sound unperturbed by that.
I sway back and forth.
It was like he's like mugged. It's like he got mugged in
right.
mid-wicket.
He's all right.
It should be a chalk outline.
He's playing. Listen, he's
on the
playing
test.
Cricket. He's not on
right.
the warfront.
Playing cricket. It's a gentleman's game.
Oh.
All of a sudden, he's
oh,
been.
You get all funny about your cricket, you guys.
Stabbed with a shiv 38 times as he leaves the crease.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
All right, we've calmed down now. It's
well,
all right.
I haven't calmed.
No,
down.
You haven't.
All right, now let's get to the fun bit.
Okay.
This is Bernard Tomic's made his comeback for tennis today in a place called Lille in France.
Where?
Lille.
Oh, that's the big tennis tournament in Lille, France.
Lille, it's kind of like the Frankston of
wow.
to Paris.
That doesn't sound very high profile.
Well, it's not
me.
Very high profile. It's not even an ATP tournament. It's a second-tier ATP tournament.
Well, let's hope he slammed
He's
it
in
home.
The first round against yep. a guy who's ranked 250 in the world. He is now ranked 180 himself, and he's lost.
He lost.
He lost in a three set. He hung in there.
Oh.
He really.
What about all this jungle talk and all this? I'm going to change. I've got to commit myself. I have to leave the jungle so I can focus on my
game. Leave the jungle, mate. He was in a Gold Coast nightclub a week ago. You may remember that terrible story where a girl, his entourage was there and a girl at the same time
allegedly
had a drink
got
spiked.
Yep. Well,
I think they might have spiked Tomek's drink too before he went on court today.
Jeepers.
Is that unbelievable? The guy, mate. He has to leave the thing. He's holidaying.
Does he have talent,
on the Gold Coast. He did. He's on the Gold Coast. And now here he is trying to get back in the game and he cannot. This is a guy who, remember, who got beaten in the who said, I can't play on in the Acapulco Open.
That's right.
In the Acapulco Open because of the conditions. And it was 28 degrees, which is what they show in the brochure.
That's why
people go, because it's 28 degrees and there's palm trees and it's there. Oh, yes. I can't. The conditions are too hard. It's 28 degrees. See you later.
I know that. Guy.
Question to you.
Yes.
Is he, and you, David, is he the least liked, well, most hated Australian sportsman going
he's
around?
He's got to be right up there at the moment, and I don't know, he's got to turn that round because we're all conscious of him,
1-3-3-5-3. Here we go. The guy who said this is when he was up.
I just count money, that's all I do. I count my millions. You go do what I did. You go make 13, 14 million. Good luck, guys.
Yeah. Oh, Bernard.
30, 40 million is going to have to last you a long time, my friend, and I don't know if you're up to
see,
it.
See, that's a guy that needs mates. In my book.
Well, I don't think he has many.
Intervention happening there.
Is he the most least liked stroke hated sportsman in Australian sporting history? There's a few. We want to hear. Who else? Who else would you say is up there?
It's like you're Australian.
I've got a couple.
Hall of Shame, maybe.
A little. Your sporting Hall of Shame.
Nominate someone else that you think might be up there with him. Let's check in with Warren first. He doesn't think we can go any further than Tomek. Is that true, Warren?
That's true. He's an insipid muppet with not a strong bone in his whole body.
And Warren's his coach. So, Warren, that sentiment is one that we have ringing in our ears as the phones went absolutely berserk. There's a couple of other favourites which we'll get to down the line. Greg's on the line. Greg, who is, do you think, the least liked Australian sportsman?
Hello, mate. I've got to agree with you that grub, but for the lady side, down Sally.
Oh God, Sally Robbins.
Sally.
How could you let your teammates down like that?
Was in the women's eight final in Athens, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't great. I was watching that live thinking, what's she doing?
Yeah.
And
It's difficult. That is an exhausting, insane sport. Oh, but in the final, mate, you've got to just fake it. Come on. Yeah. Don't lie down.
Put it this way. She's not about to find her way onto the $2 commemorative Com Games.
I don't think so.
Coin anytime soon. Thanks, lay down,
Greg,
Sally.
Mike's got one.
David Warner.
David Warner.
What?
David Warner.
Oh, that's tough.
Why is
it? Not tough. If you go back to, you know, everything that went down in the last test, I mean, most people were backing de Kock, really. I guess what he said was pretty poor, but...
Well, David's he seems to me, a very emotional, passionate player and wears his heart on his sleeve, doesn't he?
I'd say the only people who really back him are a couple of his teammates, you know that?
Interesting to add. We'll add him to the list, Mike. Mike's opinion.
Dave, he can be a polarising figure. I enjoy watching him bat, and I think he's a good, aggressive campaigner for the Australian
Dave Warner.
Cricket team. David, you have to be kidding me, but I'll let you have a go. David, who do you think is the least liked Australian sportsman?
Look, I know you're going to say this is un-Australian.
What are you
Mark
doing?
Mark Scaife.
Mark Scaife! You can't do Scaife.
I will not hear of my sweet Mark Scaife.
Next you'll be saying Brocky. I mean, come on. What are you doing, mate? Next you'll be saying Warnie. What are you up to?
Listen.
Yeah,
listen. You remember a few years ago at Bathurst where he come round the first bend and he lost it up the mountain straight.
Yes.
And he smashed his car and he was gone for all money. So he was never going to get back on the track. So what does he do? He hops in his helicopter. He flies back home to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he watches the rest of the race on television.
Well, that's just intelligence for me. Hey, that's a smart move.
David might answer me.
Here he is trying to, you know, promote the sport. So he hopped. That's serious. He hopped in his private helicopter and heads back to Melbourne.
I don't believe I'm doing this. Give David a prize. Oh, now, Scaife's a very much loved figure. And I'm going to check
that
out,
right,
David.
Now.
Yeah. But he's always been a ripper to me. All right, David.
Kennedy Malloy price back coming your way, there. David.
Thank you,
mate.
David.
Appreciate that.
Hey, we've got Jason on the line. Jason, who would you like to add to our least kind of liked Australian sportsman?
Come on, guys. Surely number one in Oz has to be Nick Kyrgios.
No, mate, no.
Hang on.
Completely reformed figure.
Really?
He's back.
All right.
You can't be out having dinner with John McEnroe, Rod Laver and Roger Federer, who, by the way, is a cheat.
You can't call Roger Federer
cheats
cheat.
At tennis.
Listen,
you know
he does not. Listen,
you know he does.
I will tell you, Jason, though, I want to tell you a story. I do know from a very good source that says Nick Kyrgios is a great guy. He's a team player and he's very sensitive. He's got great manners, and that is probably why he's been picked for to play in the US team with John McEnroe. So
right.
I've got to disagree with you there.
Did you just drop
that
a
is a bombshell. I've heard that.
In my sports segment, did you just drop a bombshell?
I did. Sorry.
Do people know he's on that team?
Yesterday we talked about it on air. Were you listening?
I don't think so. I think there was an off-air conversation.
No, really?
All right.
I'll tell you what, again.
Jason, you get tickets to the Front Bar tonight too.
Bar
Live.
To the most loved sports commentators in Australia.
Yeah.
Three of them.
9 p.m. on Channel 7 tonight. Catch
that.
Benny Gale is our special guest.
Oh, brilliant.
The CEO of the biggest sporting club in Australia, the Richmond Football Club. We'll be up and about. We'll be on deck. Myself, Sam Pang and Andy Marr. It's going to be a great
show.
Terrific.
That's on 9 o'clock.
Dean Back Capobianco's name came up.
Oh, that's funny. What was Dean? Yeah. What did he do?
But
what was his sport? I can't remember.
Oh, he was a sprinter.
On the stall gift, I think.
Hurry up with all
I've never seen anyone cheat at the stall gift.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, I know this upsets you just as much as it upsets me and a lot of right-thinking people in the world. We're just going to lay this out for you. The world's last male northern white rhino is dead, age 45, in a conservatory area in Kenya, gone. And I think now there are two females left alive on the face of the planet. What that means, I don't know if there's any artificial way, but...
The problem is that the female rhinos are not, one of them's not capable of breeding properly.
This is it, people. This is the end of the line for one of the great species on the face of the planet, on the history of the world. And it's on our watch, and it reflects poorly on all of us. I managed to get involved with the Australian Rhino Project and met some great people who are committing their life's work
now. It's meant a lot to you over the years, I know you've been involved and you've made some great friends.
Well, and I know you have too, and we'll get to what you've been up to shortly, but I met some great friends of people who are really committed to this, and one of them is a man I've kept in contact since, Ray Dearlove, who was with the Australian Rhino Project and still keeps up the battle on behalf of the rhino. Ray, how are you?
Very well, Mick. Good to hear your voice again. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's a sad day, isn't it? Tell us what this means.
Mick, it is a dreadful day. I mean, it's essentially the end of the line for a species. As you and Jane rightly said, is that up until the day before yesterday, there were three northern white rhinos left on the planet, one male, 45, and two females. And the male Sudan died yesterday, 45 years old, which is not a good age for a rhino, but he's gone. So in terms of natural birth, that's basically the end of the line. There's a lot of talk going on now about potentially IVF from one thing to another.
Yeah.
But essentially there are two northern white rhinos left on this earth. And Mick, as you said, and we've spoken about this before, I mean, it's a severe indictment on the world, quite frankly, to allow this to happen. And it's not a good day at all.
Tell us how we got to this position. What is it about the rhino which makes the world such
Poach
a hard
them.
Place for them?
Mm.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the rhino's horn, Mick. The horn is sold on the markets of Asia, predominantly Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, and to a less extent China now. And it can be sold for up to $65,000 US a kilo. Now, that is a stunning amount of money. It's more expensive than gold. It's more expensive than cocaine and anything else that you can possibly think of. And if a rhino, an average rhino will have a horn of about 5 or 6 kilos, you can see how much money is actually on the table here. Yeah. So it all comes down to poaching. And the poaching, it's an epidemic, is out of control. all over Africa. I mean, Kenya has very few rhinos left in total, and as you go down Africa, South Africa has the majority of white rhinos, or southern white rhinos, excuse me, and southern black rhinos left, and that's really, then there are some Sumatra, and there's Javan, and there's some Indian, but those are in the hundreds in terms of how many are left.
So the bottom line, Ray, is that we have to get across to the world not to buy this stuff, not to have any value on it, and how can we do that?
How can we help?
Jane, you're exactly right. I mean, I don't think the poaching will ever stop. I'm pretty gloomy about that.
Oh,
it has to be stopped at source. And I think this is so ingrained, it seems to be ingrained in the culture of many countries that I really am quite gloomy about it in terms of the future. It has to be an education process. The young Asians today, many of them understand this, but many don't. The biggest users of rhino horn today would be Chinese males who, the age between 18 and 30, who believe that rhino horn can actually prevent or cure hangovers.
How vulgar is that?
Oh, my God. Let's
Ray,
get it out there, Ray.
Ray,
we've
got to
go.
To get you back. We have to go now.
We'd love to talk more.
We'd love to keep this conversation going. Can we speak to you tomorrow?
Absolutely. If we talk again, please, I'd like to pick up that conversation about Steve's big shoulder charge.
Get it in, Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.